Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The recent release, The Rickety Rocket from James Titmuss, is a delightful children's tale following a brother, sister, and a neighbor boy who dream of visiting space camp. Though their families are unable to send them, they make their own space camp and build a rocket together and troubleshoot how to recover their rocket to launch it over again. They also document their efforts for the neighbor boy's father on military assignment far away from home. James Titmuss, professional engineer, holds a Bachelor of Science in Civil Engineering degree from the University of Akron, Ohio, a recipient of the coveted Distinguished Alumni Award from the Akron University's College of Engineering Alumni. He began work as an engineer in training in November 1957. After serving over 3 years as an airborne ranger in the Corps of Engineers, his career in consulting engineering started. He's had lead responsibility in over 800 projects spanning 24 states and 19 foreign countries. He's authored 26 U.S. method and/or apparatus patents. James is recipient of the Ohio Historical Society William H. and Benjamin Harrison Award for an Ohio-related family history for his book, The Search for Captain Abraham Miller. James Titmuss, author of The Rickety Rocket, joins us on This Week in America. James, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. Good to be here.
You touch on so many elements in this children's book, and you get them thinking, you get parents thinking as we're reading the book sometimes with them, and you've done such a wonderful job with this. Folks will say, well, it's not rocket science when they want to say something is not all that difficult. Talk about this, because you are a scientist with us on the program. Is rocket science not really that hard when you learn to do it step by step? And that's what the kids learn how to do in the book. Does that make it easier, and we just need to slow things down and do it step by step?
Well, I think all science advances from the first beginning learning, and then it's reinforced with education. There are a few principles, basics that are appropriate to the young people, but once they start into the program, then essentially it is a college level type serious learning. The most difficult part, obviously, is guidance, but the rocket itself is rather straightforward, and they've been around for quite some time. That first part of the book of the young boy experimenting with the way to do it is actually a bit autobiographical. That was me when I was in fourth grade in school, you know, and the tail end of World War II.
Interesting. So this, you've always had this curiosity yourself, just like kids do growing up. You had that curiosity, and you made a life out of it, didn't you?
Well, yes, and quite frankly, being of limited means, you had to make it yourself. You couldn't buy a packet or have it ready-made like a Lionel train or something like that. So if you wanted something, you had to make it. And I think there's learning in that.
Well, there are so many lessons in the book. The book is The Rickety Rocket by James Titmuss. That's T-I-T-M-A-S. Book available Amazon, the usual places. His website, jbjbooks.com. We'll talk about the other books that he's written and what he's working on that you'll find out about. It's very simple, jbjbooks.com. Why do people sometimes dismiss the experience and insights of both of their parents and their grandparents when in fact they're an important source of experience and they're learning? We sometimes overlook that, don't we? We think we have to buy all these manuals and we have to have all these experts. Sometimes it's right under our roof or in our family.
It's important, I think, that young people learn that there is a nuclear family, and that if you reach out to them, there's great experience and learning that would go to waste if they couldn't communicate. And the other part of the ticket is the family unit can probably live with the capability of being able to forgive someone that makes a mistake while they're learning. And I think not only being able to forgive, but for the young people to accept forgiveness, may be one of the most important lessons we may have overlooked somewhere in our education.
You know, that's important. And as I'm reading that and I'm thinking, boy, this is really, it seems so simple, yet it's something that most of us really don't fully comprehend on a daily basis. Was that the case with you? Was forgiveness, was that a part of your growing up and your learning process?
Oh, yes. It was absolutely necessary. And it's something that gives them the strength to try something that they haven't done before and to actually reach out and use their imagination. And obviously there'll have to be limits, but it was sort of a feral situation when growing up, when during World War II, there weren't people around. There were very few adult guidance situations, so grandparents were there. And military service is something that actually takes away from the family, but that can be overcome with the modern means of communication.
And they do that in the book, The Rickety Rocket, how they're able to accommodate the father of one of the boys that's involved in this. You said something before that's so interesting. Why do people always think they have to purchase something for it to work, or it has to look picture perfect? If it's a little raggedy, we think there's something wrong with it. In fact, there's significant learning, isn't there, in building your own toys from scratch?
I think that learning is strengthened by doing it yourself. If you're given something that's ready-made or molded out of plastic or something like that, there's a lot of merit to actually figuring out how you want to go about it and then use something as a basic model and then duplicate it as best you can with your own resources. And that's what we had to do. Those little model airplanes that used to be able to purchase in World War II came as a kit. You had to put them together, something like some of the new furniture that you have to get that comes in a kit. And hopefully the kit isn't just a barren log or something that's a little bit pre-cut. But there is learning in making those models yourself rather than having them store-bought. And if something has to be purchased, I think it's good for the young people to earn the money themselves before they get into it, so that they can understand and appreciate the value of money. I think that's another lost experiment and lost art, but there's maybe the money is too free and easy. And quite frankly, if it takes them a chore or mowing a lawn or helping with the house or helping with the cooking to learn how to earn money, that's an important part of the book as well.
That's a very important lesson, and I want to just touch on that here. Sometimes we think we have to borrow money or we ask somebody to give us the money. It's free. We're going to take the money, when in reality, the true value of money would be appreciated in your story, The Rickety Rocket, if they exchanged with their talents and effort ahead of time. So, and obviously that's something you had to do during that period. I'm sure you didn't just go in and ask for a $20 bill to get something taken care of. You had to be creative, didn't you, in the way you went about financing this project?
That was a basic requirement, yes. Oddly enough, during World War II, there was plenty of money available, but there wasn't anything you could buy. Everything else was being used. Everything was rationed. And all in all, I think that this business of actually working on something with a goal in mind really has strength itself. And my own background is in engineering, so we start with a plan. And then we figure out on paper what has to be done and how to avoid problems. And then you execute the plan. And that's a bit of learning along the engineering lines as well.
And those are lessons that you teach in the book, The Rickety Rocket, for all of us. It's a delightful children's tale, but there's so much benefit for adults when we're reading that, and the things that we've forgotten, that we've taken for granted, things that we can incorporate in our lives and in our children's and grandchildren's lives. The book, The Rickety Rocket, James Titmus is our guest on the program, the author. That's T-I-T-M-A-S. His website is jbjbooks.com. Information on this and his other books there as well. Book can be purchased Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places, all of this on our website. Talk about the importance of accomplishing a task as a learning experience, using planning and working with whatever resources are at hand. And you touched on that and how important that is. Again, you didn't have a whole lot of resources. It was a lot of creativity on your part. How important is that, being able to use that and the learning experience involved in that?
The being able to create something out of nothing, I think, is a strong learning experience, because and there'll be mistakes made too. And learning from mistakes, learning by doing, is a fundamental way of getting started in all this sort of thing. And the when I think about it, you mentioned it, it's partly for adults and partly for children. I think it's a good time for some of the people that are reading the story to a child or to a young person to appreciate the things themselves, and yes, they can relate to it in their own experience.
You do such a wonderful job with that. And again, it's designed for a younger audience. There's plenty there for us, because we zip through life and sometimes take a lot of this for granted. And you break it down. The book is so well written, The Rickety Rocket by James Titmus. I want to go back to that era. This was World War II. Families had family members that were not present in the home. It was, I'm sure, constantly on your mind. What is happening with my dad, with my friend's dad, with maybe my older brother? What was it like for a close family member to be in the service of the country, far from home, even in a very potentially a hostile combat situation? What was that like to deal with that?
Well, on either end, I had uncles, almost all my uncles were involved in the service in World War II. But when I was in the service, I was struck that an awful lot of the time is spent preparing for or cleaning equipment or maintaining equipment or moving from one place to another. And quite frankly, military service is somewhat like flying an airplane. It's like hours and hours of boredom punctuated with a few seconds of stark terror. But in the most part, you really have to rely on why you're there and overcome the boredom. Most of the time, there's absolutely very little or nothing to do. But on the other hand, you're there for a purpose. And it always bothered me that it struck me that a lot of times these combat situations are a failure of imagination. There must be another way to work things out. And I think being prepared for the combat but never having to do it, it's part of the problem and part of the situation, part of the solution.
Imagine in that era you had mail, which is basically the way people communicated, and mail would take days. It wasn't like you could follow some division of the military because news is following it, or you'll get an email or an update like that. You really, with there's a lot of time, you really didn't know what was going on with a loved one, wasn't there?
When I was in the service, the highlight of the month would be to get a letter from home.
Oh, yes.
There wasn't any internet back then.
The old-fashioned way.
Well, then they can be used.
And it's amazing, because we sometimes lose track of what you went through and the lack of communication that you had. How can a day-to-day activity, day-to-day event, support a family member so they stay close to the hearts and the minds of all involved? And the young people are able to do that in the book. Talk about the day-to-day events and how important those are.
Well, the other thing is, in the situation was that the young man who is frequently visiting the house of the host, not only is his father in far away in the service, but his mother is a nurse. And obviously, their time is not their own. So the family sort of bond together and take up the slack amongst them. And I think that's a good way or a good lesson for those that are in the service. And it's not just military service. There are other means of service where somebody's in the service of a community that's going to take them away from home. Or they might have to be under a relocation situation where part of the family is in one state and waiting for the others to join them. There's a lot of situations where the family can't be together, but the nuclear family is incredibly important. And there's a lesson on that too, because if they learn to appreciate and understand the value of that, they'll work to preserve it, even though things might get a little difficult.
The book is The Rickety Rocket. James Titmus, T-I-T-M-A-S, is the author. Book at Amazon, the usual places. His website, jbjbooks.com. Talk about failure. What can failure teach us, especially with these people? And you were going through this during the same time period when you were young. You know, sometimes there aren't instructions there. You try things and they don't work out. What does this teach us about failure and how failure is just part of the process?
Well, in some of the engineering definitions, even that I work with today, there's a great strength in having experience. And experience is defined by myself as admitting what you did wrong and admitting it to yourself and to others. If you don't do that, it's not experience. And by trying one thing and trying a variation and trying a variation or something that's a little bit different approach to the problem, it certainly helps a lot. One of the challenges we have in engineering is we like to model things so that we can work on them on a small scale. But one of the most serious difficulties is making a true simulation of what you're modeling. Too many times they leave something out and create either a false negative or a false positive. Either one of them would need correction, but it's like taking a test at school. A test is actually a learning device. You find out what you did wrong, admit it to yourself, and then correct it or try a variation and see if that works. It's part of the learning curve.
How important is perseverance? We see that in the young people, the brother, sister, the neighbor, boy, in the book, the Rickety Rocket. I'm sure you went through times when it's like, okay, I've got to stay with this until I figure this out. Talk about the role of persistence and how important that is. We can't be impatient with the engineering process, the scientific process, can we?
Well, I've been told that I'm incredibly stubborn, but I prefer the word persistent instead because it just sounds better.
Oh, yes, yes.
You have to stay to it, and you can't just give up and walk away. And that's part of the learning experience as well. And if you do that and you stay persistent, sooner or later, you'll find out the right road to travel and you'll get someplace. Otherwise, you just get stuck and stay bored all the time, and that doesn't work. But there's strength in friendships, there's strength in sticking to it until you actually can get it done. And sometimes you have to set it aside and come back to it maybe a day or two later and see if there's something that dawned on you in the interim that allowed you to fix it yourself.
You talk about a team, and we have a team with these young people. You have a team, I'm sure, as you're working on a project. What's the value of a team? Talk about the importance of the strength of a team.
Well, in all the books, all three of the children help participate with their ideas so that each person gets listened to. It's like an open forum among the children themselves. But you can expand that arena to include the parents and even the grandparents and maybe uncles, aunts, cousins are all part of the nuclear family. And there's great strength there if they can find it, if you can get them to talk together and work together and see each other from time to time. So otherwise than that, everything's a team. In even going to a football team, you don't always have to do it entirely by yourself. There's chances where somebody else can pick up the slack or somebody else has an idea, but you need to incorporate it and feel how to appreciate it. It's always strong to listen, even though you don't agree, but listen to the opinion and listen to the idea, and it can create a spinoff, which will help in actually figuring out what is the correct path to take.
Well, we all need, I guess, a plan B, and we say that all the time. Rarely do we have plan B in place, but how important is that to have an alternate solution? As you're working on a project, as these young people are working on this rocket ship, how important is it to always have alternate plans in place every step of the way?
Well, alternate plans are either planned or unplanned. They're there. You have to always keep in mind that there's more than one solution to a situation. In some of the other books, we talk about cause and effect. We see something that is affecting the outcome of the solution. But what is the actual cause? Identifying what is the real problem and then work on that. And there's always more than one solution. You might have six solutions to a problem, or you have a problem that's not based on just one problem or just one difficulty, but there should be maybe three or four different things that are combining to cause something not to work. So you have to identify some of them, keep your imagination alive and open, and work on it that way.
How important is it the cover we've got on the screen now, by the way, the YouTube version of our interview with James available at thisweekinamerica.us. Click on videos. You'll see it there. You can Google it and find it on YouTube. There's an adult that's there with the three young people. How important is it to have someone, an older person, experienced person, on hand as sort of a safety outlet when you're doing things potentially that could get injured? I mean, we've got a rocket. We're going to try to propel it up to some level in space, in the air. How important is it to understand, to have someone there to guide you in case there is a problem, and to have the proper safety measures in place?
Well, obviously there's something involved in what they call the prefrontal cortex, where you have to be able to see danger in advance. Young people don't have that advantage. That's something that comes with maturity. Also with experience, but specifically having an adult present, there's a lot of things that are inherently dangerous that a young person, a very young child, say 7, 8, 10, 12, even 16 years old, may not identify or see coming. So somebody needs to be there, sort of a safety officer, to kind of keep a hand on things a little bit so that they can see or identify something that say, hey, if you do that, you're going to regret it. And that is something that is probably more of a point of mental maturity than it is a learning thing, because we see a lot of young people go running off and managing things that probably are better left taking it a little bit easy and one step at a time. But nonetheless, as long as the experience is not entirely life-threatening and somebody falls down and hurts their knee or happens to cut a finger or something like that, that's not serious. But that is one way to learn.
I was going to say, it's a real learning experience, isn't it? That when something happens and you realize, okay, I can't do this again. The next time I have to have an alternate plan in place so that doesn't happen again. The book is so well written. It's The Rickety Rocket by James Titmus, T-I-T-M-A-S. Book is available all of the usual places. You'll find information on this and James' other book at books at jbjbooks.com. A minute or so left in the program. James, tell us a little bit about the other books that we've been showing on the screen for the video. And these are all part of the series. Tell us about those.
Well, the Gallumpy Board is an experiment where the three young people work on figuring out what they can do with what they have, how to take care of tools, how to work with tools, how to be polite with people to work with them, and actually accomplish something. And that is an unsupervised situation where no one's going to be really hurt. There's no power tools or anything involved. They set a goal to accomplish something. The other one, the density stone, is a discovery on finding something in the ditch or finding something in the ground that's unusual, and then providing some experimentation to figure out just exactly what it is. And as you know, that engineering itself is a science, but it's a science that's a little different. It's a science that requires you to keep in mind of how much something costs and how you go about it and how do you simulate it? How do you test for something? In the density stone, they actually discover a small meteorite and work to go through some tests and experiments with some adult guidance to determine that it actually is something that's remarkable and interesting. Always to have a little piece of a meteorite in your own hand and look at it and feel it and feel the touch of it and realize that sooner or later, every single item that surrounds you here on Earth was once part of a meteorite. And the little bit of astronomical science is something that's fascinating. My own situation is I never could study any single subject in depth. I had to get pretty scatterbrained. My interests lie all across the scientific spectrum. And the books will reflect that. There's more than books coming along. There are 5 published now, 2 more being published. And beyond that, there's an inventory of some 3 dozen books that have already been worked out and prepared for editing and publishing. But those will come along in time. And I think that what we need to do is work on showing the young people that there's a whole lot of world out there, especially in the world of science. It'll be absolutely fascinating. And it won't be just rocket scientists or meteorology or densities. And we also introduce the children to some scientific terms, things, words that we have deliberately defined in the scientific arena, so that even the engineers can talk to each other. Now, after that, maybe someday we'll be able to learn to talk with bankers and other people. But one thing at a time, and I think that science is a fascinating subject, and you can feed it in bits and pieces so that it is digestible. You can't eat an elephant in one bite. You start off one piece at a time.
Well, a great place to start is with James' books. The one we talked about specifically, The Rickety Rocket, James Titmus, T-I-T-M-A-S. All of the other books are featured at his website, jbjbooks.com. I've got all this information on our website, so if you're traveling and can't remember all of this, very simple, you'll find it on the website. This book available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places, as are the other books. James, the time has gone by way too quickly. It's been a pleasure having you on the program. So much more we can talk about, and hopefully we can do this again, continue our conversation. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you very much.
It has been our pleasure. The Rickety Rocket by James Titmus, book available on his website, jbjbooks.com, Amazon, the usual places, and, of course, information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.